I grew up in Oregon and started out my first official ministry was at a little church on the Oregon coast in a little town called Lakeside. Now, it was one of those surprising ministries in that I was in seminary and had just barely finished my first year and was still not quite sure that I really wanted to do this. And now after 27 years, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe I still don't want to do this. But the presbytery up there called and said, we have a little church on the Oregon coast and they desperately need somebody. And the word desperately came to mind when they thought of me. And for the summer, could you go and be their pastor for the summer? Well, I had never pastored a church. I preached a couple of times, but this is now I'm going to have to preach every week. Well, let me pray about when do you need to know? Well, if you could let us know by tomorrow, that would be great. So I said yes and headed off and spent the summer with this wonderful group of people in this small little town, in this small little church that didn't have an office, didn't have a telephone, and I'll show you how long it was ago. If I wanted to call people, pre-cell phones, there was a phone booth on the corner in front of the church, and I would take my roll of dimes, and call people, and that was how it started. But one of the great lessons I learned there was a gentleman in our congregation who had come to the Lord kind of later in life. And he began every single prayer with, Lord, I thank you for my salvation. Every prayer. That he knew that he was absolutely thankful for everything that God had given and done for him, and it began with his salvation. And that has been with me for over 30 years now. And I'm wondering whether in our lives, in our churches, and certainly in our society, that thanksgiving and giving thanks and saying thank you is becoming a lost art. It's slowly but surely being reduced to the letters TY on our emails and our Twitterers and our tweeters and our Twixters and our texters. And I'm sorry, I'm not good with any of this. But, oh yeah, hey, good to see you. Do we say thanks? I had dinner with some people the other night. Do I send a written note anymore of thank you? Or do I email? Or do I just assume they know I'm thankful? I think part of this passage says God calls us as Christians to a higher standard of giving thanks. And so after this long explanation in chapter 13 and even before, the writer of Hebrews is using kind of Old Testament imagery about the high priest. The high priest who would go into the Holy of Holies with the sacrifice of the people so that it would be acceptable to God. And if it wasn't given by the high priest, then the sacrifice wasn't accepted. And he turns then and begins to make the case of saying that Jesus is our high priest. And Jesus is the sacrifice. That he fulfills both those roles on our behalf, and therefore we need to be thankful. He says, through Jesus. He wants us to know that it's only in and through Jesus that what we give and who we are before the Lord are acceptable. That Jesus is our conduit to God. We often talk about, I came to God at this moment. The truth of the scripture is that God comes to us first. And Jesus, through his atonement, becomes our high priest. And he becomes our sacrifice. And in that context, the writer says, therefore, and we always, when we hear a therefore in Scripture, perk up our ears. Let us continually, unceasingly, on a regular basis, more than one time, offer to God our thanks, our praise, as Christ is offered to us. As Christ has given his life for us, then we are called continually to return the offering. To do so with, it says here, sacrifice of praise. It's no longer the animals, it's no longer the symbolic things that are taken into the Holy of Holies. God says, that's all been taken care of through my Son Jesus. Now your job, believers and followers, is to give sacrifices of praise. Jesus' sacrifice was his life. Our sacrifice is our giving, our offering, our caring for one another. And let it be the fruits of our lips. Now, this is an interesting phrase because this is the only place it's used in the New Testament. And it really comes out of the Old Testament of Hosea, talking about giving a thank offering or singing a song of praise that we have been doing already this morning. Most of our worship has been giving praise through the hymns and the praise songs and just sharing with one another sacrifices of praise through the fruit of our lips. And when we do so, we are to confess his name. We can acknowledge him, or as Paul would say in Romans 10:10, that if we confess with our lips and believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. We speak it. That thanksgiving of praise is more than singing a song and speaking it in that way, is confessing who Jesus is. So then he says, do not forget. Now there's something that some of us, as we get older, have a harder time doing. But it's not memory that he's really talking about. He's saying, do not forget, don't neglect to do good. Act with kindness. Make your actions very tangible in what you do. These are not random acts of kindness. These are true acts of kindness that we do. And so share with others, be outwardly focused with such sacrifices as Jesus sacrificed for us, then we sacrifice for others. And in all of this, God is pleased. Want to know how to please God? I ask myself that question almost every day. Lord, how can I please you? How can I make you, if you will, happy? What can I do in my life? What can I say? How can I act that will result in your good pleasure? It was the now old movie, but came out many years ago, and I just saw on TV the other day, Chariots of Fire. And Eric Little, the great Scottish runner, is being asked about running, and he's being pulled to do that, but he's being pulled by his sister and family to go back to China as a missionary. And yet he says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. In your life, in the things that you do and the things that you say, are you feeling God's pleasure? Are you doing things that make God pleased? It's our personal piety, and it's our corporate responsibility. Because this is a covenant relationship we have with God and with each other. It's twofold. God says, I am your God and you are my people. It's intimate and it's personal. But it's not private. I met many Presbyterians in my life, being a long Presbyterian. And as you probably know, maybe not so in this church, but in most Presbyterian churches, we don't like to use the E word. Evangelism. You may have heard of that. We don't talk about it much. We think about it, but we don't talk about it. I've had many people say, well, my faith is private. Scripture never teaches that. It's personal because God reaches out and speaks to each one of us as a person in different ways that fit our personality and fit our needs and our desires, but it's never private because we're always to share it. So it's a covenant relationship that God makes with us, but he also says this is a covenant relationship that we have with each other. That's the church. We're in a covenant relationship with the people sitting around us. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but, you know, just kind of glance to your right and your left and who's in front and who's back, and you may think, oh, yeah, I like being in a covenant relationship with them. And then there may be a few that you're not so sure about, but my guess is you're sitting in a different pew. And you will give them the Presbyterian look if they try and sit in your pew. But our covenant relationship calls us for mutual caring and mutual support to be there in times of great celebration like the birth of Lillian, and times of sadness when we've lost someone or even come to an anniversary of the loss of a family member or even close friend. I think God is calling us to make our Christian lives worship. To make our lives worship before God. And in worship, there is a time of offering, but there are really three sacrificial offerings I think that God calls us to do and that this passage is suggesting. The first sacrifice is a verbal sacrifice. With words do we share the gospel. With praise songs and thanksgiving and gratitude on our lips do we verbally express to those around us, especially in the church, in the community, as a way of lifting each other up, our verbal praise of God. But sometimes it's the ability and the call to praise God and share that verbally with people who are not Christians. And I run into people all the time who ask me, why do you do what you do? And of course, even more important is, what do you do during the rest of the week? Well, we understand you work 1 hour a week. How can I get that job? Well, maybe it's, 13, 14 hours a week, isn't it? Yeah. Stewardship time and budget time, I shouldn't say that. You're not voting on their salary tomorrow. But it is a verbal thanksgiving, a verbal sacrifice of praise that we give to God. But then the second sacrifice is the deeds of love. The acts of kindness that we show to one another. And we've all seen that bumper sticker that says, random acts of kindness, right? We're called, we should do these random acts of kindness. The scripture says, no. Christian, you are intentionally to do acts of kindness. Not just randomly when it occurs to you, not randomly when you feel like it, but intentionally all the time as a sense of saying, thank you to God, I will do things that are kind to one another. In my family, in my church, with those around me, with those I see. That is a sacrificial offering. And then thirdly, it is to be generous. The word here in Hebrews is the word koinonia. And we've heard that word over the years, if you've been around church circles long enough. And we think of koinonia as, oh, that's fellowship with one another. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to have fellowship with one another. But really, it's much deeper because it talks here about a partnership with one another. That part of making our life as a Christian worship is to be in partnership with other brothers and sisters in faith and to share in that. And the meaning also includes a financial component. It's not just sharing what I think about a scripture I've read. It's not just sharing my life in a simple way. It is the New Testament idea that everything belongs to God, and we are here and placed in this covenant community together to be generous with one another in the best way that we can. And so we share our time with one another. We share the talents that we have with another, and we certainly share our treasures. Now, like you, I recognize that times are difficult. I've had those difficult times, and frankly, continue to go through those difficult times. 3 weeks ago, I went to my bank account, and I said, oh my gosh, I have $38 in my checking account. Well, this could be a problem. My rent's due next week. And so I'll check the balance of savings. Whew, you know, thank heavens for savings. Okay, there was $50 there. And all these bills were coming, and I kept saying, Lord, all the job, because I'm not only doing interim pastor work that just started a couple of weeks ago, but I've also been doing, like Paul the tent maker, I've been doing house painting. Of which, as I say to the Lord, every job, you've got to get me out of this. You know, I'm getting older, and half the money I earn goes to Motrin. So I'm losing money on this. But it was, Lord, I am finally at the end. I have begged, borrowed, and didn't quite steal all I could, and I'm counting on you and your generosity to help me. And suddenly, through a series of circumstances, I potentially in October will make the most money I've ever made in my 56 years. In a two-week period, it suddenly turned around. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. I'm not saying that suddenly, if you're having trouble paying your rent or paying your mortgage, that, oh, just trust in tomorrow God's going to provide. But that's what the community is here for. When we are in need, they're there with the casseroles and the free babysitting and the hand-holding and the hugs and the kisses. To be generous with our time if somebody is in need. To be giving of the talents, the gifts that God has given this particular community for this particular time. And certainly with the finances. This is a time of sharing and giving. And in some ways, in my lifetime, there has never been a greater need in our communities and a greater need in the church. For a while this last year, I was the executive director of a ministry to homeless families. And to hear their stories, and I think the Lord put me through what He did these last 6 months, simply so that I knew exactly what they were going through. And how grateful they were that there were Christian people who were struggling like they, what would bring them into their churches, bring them into their churches to feed them and help them in the ways that they could. If we are to make our whole life an act of worship by sharing with our lips the praise of God, by acting with love toward one another, and then to give in whatever way we can with generosity, we will please God. And the ultimate goal of every Christian, every believer, is to thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus and then to turn that into something tangible in helping one another in the community. And that's how we say thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you have done for us. You have given everything. You have given your Son to be with us. You've given your Son to teach us. You've given your Son to die for us. And you've given your Son to be resurrected for us and come back in the Holy Spirit that we might be the people of God who please you and serve one another. Grow us closer to you this week than we've ever been. And grow us closer to one another, that we would truly serve you and please you in all that we say and all that we do. In the glorious name of Jesus, amen.
At this time in our service, ushers are going to come forward to pass out estimate of giving cards. And I want to walk through these with you. There's going to be a top portion to this card on the front page, which is for your own spiritual use. It's just between you and your family and the Lord. And it's to ask those questions of yourselves. Are you in a position to, because the Lord has blessed you greatly this year, be a blessing to others? Are you in a position just to continue to be able to give what you've been given? Or are you in a position where it's really hard and you have to move to a point where you're looking up in terms of your giving? You want to be able to give more, but you're not able to do so. We understand all of those circumstances, and we want you to be able to communicate with the Lord in your own prayers what it is that the Lord's calling you to give. And as I'm speaking, go ahead and pass those cards out and so they can begin to look at them. Thank you. And at the bottom will just be just the one section that our treasurer looks at to be able to understand where it is that the harvest will be for us as a church this year. And that's, we'll be able to announce that at the end of our fellowship dinner together outside and in the Faith Center. On the back of these cards, there is a prayer that we talked about last week from First Fruits, Deuteronomy 26. That is to say, when the people at the harvest time brought the fruits of their harvest to the Lord told them to do two things. To say two prayers as they give. And the first of that prayer is to say, Lord, I thank you for the deliverance that you gave. So what Jack had said, thank you, Lord, first for my salvation. There is no point in Christian giving apart from having that be the foundation upon what we give. And the second prayer is a prayer that we offer saying, Lord, I brought this so that it would be used for people in need. That it would be used for the outreach of the people of God. That it would be used so that people might experience together that koinonia and they might live for Christ. I want you to do that together personally with your family as you consider these things, and just for your prayer say, Lord, only if you can say this by faith, Lord, we thank you for your grace, and Lord, we give because we do so knowing that you will use it in and through our church to help people who are in need. You can write it any way you'd like. I know that there's for some that maybe have giving in different type parts of the year, you can indicate that on the card as well. And the card is not compulsory. It's just an aid for us to know and to act responsibly as a church in our stewardship of the gifts that you give us as we continue our mission in the world. And this is also an opportunity for us to just personally come before the Lord and have our faith be indicated not just in private terms, but in our commitment to the body of Christ. As you and your family pray through that, Dave's going to play some instrumental music for us to prayerfully think through. Bring your cards up whenever you're ready to place them in the First Fruits harvest basket. And we invite everybody to come and to join. I don't know if you smelled it coming in, but it's amazing, a meal, a fellowship meal together. And whatever the harvest is, we said last week, we will celebrate the harvest because it's what the Lord has given to us to give his gifts to the people of God, the gifts of God for the people of God. Let's continue our worship together now in prayerful time with our families. Lord bless you for being here. And when you put your cards in the basket, please join us for a time of fellowship. God bless.